The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Hello, Olympia! Are you tired of getting your news and information from boring, monotone drones? Would you prefer a little spice with your public affairs? Would you like to know what the Olympia activist community is up to? Well, now is your opportunity, because the Thunderbolt has come to chaos. Yes, kids, the Thunderbolt is your guide to all of the news that's fit to suppress. The Thunderbolt airs every Monday right here on KHUHLP 104.9 FM, Seattle. All right, welcome to the Thunderbolt. It is August 30th, 2019, meaning this is the fifth Friday of the month, meaning it's time for the Thunderbolt's greatest strikes. Enjoy.
When the truth is found to be
So I recently attended the Washington Community Action Network Summer Leadership Council. And by the way, if you are looking for an effective activist organization to work with, Washington Can kicks much ass. As one of the exercises, everyone got up and explained their aha moment, i.e. the one incident or realization that led to their becoming activists. Upon contemplation, I realized that my own aha moment actually came in two parts.
Say your eyes may look like his.
Part one was in my early 20s when I became involved with activists and educated myself as to what was really going on. And I came to the same conclusion as the Black Flag Kids, i.e. the entire system is so utterly, completely, irretrievably corrupt, rotten, vile, and evil to its very core that there is no fixing it or reforming it. However, unlike the Black Flag Kids, it seemed to me that the machine was doing just fine falling apart all by itself, and that it did not need any more help from me, and so I was content to allow it to do so. And I decided that I was just going to have a good time and enjoy my life until everything collapsed, and I did just that for many years. Then three things. My daughter, my granddaughter, and federal prison. I gained a reason to care about the future, and after 6 years of doing lots of reading and lots of thinking, I came to the second portion of my personal aha moment. I realized the problem is not the system, the problem is the people. The system is just a reflection of the people. And when you fix the people, the system will fix itself. People can be fixed, or at least they can come to an arrangement, and even those who can't make accommodation can be dealt with much more effectively and much more humanely than we do currently. When most of the other people are fixed, then I highly suspect that the problematic ones will become much less so. And thus, this week, the Thunderbolt's ominous and baleful eye will be directed toward some foundational nuts and bolts. And I don't mean the usual metaphorical nuts in Congress and Wall Street that I generally dwell upon. And rather than my normal metaphorical thunderbolts, this time I mean literal metaphorical fastener-type bolts. Now, can something be literally metaphorical? And if so, would that be literally or metaphorically or both? Words are so much fun to play with sometimes. Yes, kids, even as my ponderous intellect ponders the great overarching questions of our day, occasionally even I descend from my lofty ideological perch in order to get down into the weeds of practical details. And so I am most pleased to announce that this week the Thunderbolt will be dwelling upon the concept of truth and reconciliation. And the theme of this week's Thunderbolt can be best summed up by probably the most nauseatingly cheesy song in all human history.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. He had high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're feeling bad, instead of feeling sad, just remember that ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt
ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt
ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt ram.
I'm sitting here lonely like a broken man. I serve my time doing the best I can. Walls and bars, they surround me, but I don't want no sympathy.
Well, walls and bars will not be surrounding the former war criminals, because Barack Obama has unequivocally stated that he isn't going to prosecute any of the many odious crimes perpetrated by the Bush administration. Obama says he doesn't believe in looking back. The lighter's reasoning is quickly and easily determined by the fact that for no apparent or stated reason, he has just elevated Assata Shakur to the FBI's top 10 most wanted terrorist list. This is even though Ms. Shakur has been retired and inactive in Cuba for over 30 years now. So evidently, black female activists who were railroaded into prisons for crimes they did not commit are just one of many exceptions to Obama's not-looking-back rule. But that is par for the course, and by this point, I don't think much of anyone is overly surprised at Obama's profound hypocrisy anymore. If you don't get it by now, I suspect you are incapable. And just in case you have any doubts whatsoever Obama really works for, then here is what should be the final nail in the coffin, except there are already so many nails in that sucker, it's more nail than coffin.
Ice cold water running through my veins. They try and drag me back to work again. Pain and blisters on my mind and hands. I work all day making up a burlap bag.
Be that as it may, Barack Obama has just nominated Lawrence Summers to head the Federal Reserve. Besides being a pure sexist in the worst sense, women are not as good at math as men are, according to Mr. Summers. Lawrence Summers was one of the central architects of the Great Wall Street ripoff. Lawrence Summers is an acolyte of Robert Rubin, who was himself Bill Clinton's champion of the bank deregulation that allowed Goldman Sachs to steal a good part of the entire world during the great 21st century housing bubble scam. Now, I am going to tie all of this into the truth and reconciliation meme. First, I need to explain what I think is a very good reason why Obama is refusing to prosecute the Bush war crimes that completely disregards the obvious reason that since Mr. Obama has himself subsequently taken Bush's crimes and put them on steroids, he certainly doesn't want some future president prosecuting him. But the main reason is because the corruption and criminality have become so pervasive and systemic, and since it has become such an integral part of every aspect of government these days, then if anyone ever actually started prosecutions, then the dominoes would begin to fall and the entire house of cards would almost instantly collapse into a pile of rubble even uglier than my mixed metaphors. And that would not do anyone any good. And this is a serious problem as far as getting past this stuff and as far as prosecuting government officials is concerned. The rot is so deep, it's so pervasive, and there is no fixing it or reforming it. On that point, I find myself in 100% agreement with the Black Flag Kids. However, while they anticipate and relish the thought of the American government machine collapsing into chaos, I would prefer a more thoughtful and realistic process that does not cause so much pain, and that is where the concept of truth and reconciliation comes into play. Our current situation is not unique. Many other countries have also faced the situation wherein their cultures and governments are so pervasively and systemically corrupt, and the past crimes are so massive and monstrous that no normal legal proceeding presents itself as a realistic choice. With but a very small handful of exceptions, I'm not even completely sure about them, every elected official in our federal government, including especially our president and the vast majority of the higher-up federal bureaucrats and appointees, are quite literally criminals of one kind and another. And many of their crimes are quite serious, and many of their crimes are quite heinous. The Justice Department holds responsibility for prosecuting these crimes, but the Justice Department itself is one of the more corrupt agencies, and in any such proceedings, Attorney General Eric Holder would find himself in the dock rather than at the prosecutor's table. Do you see the problem? Well, I am most happy to announce that there is a tried and effective method for dealing with this situation. It's the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Now, this process has been carried out in a variety of manners in a variety of countries with a variety of levels of success.
I need you right now, Mama. I need you right now, baby.
Basically, truth and reconciliation in its pure concept is a process wherein past crimes are forgiven if the criminals publicly acknowledge their crimes and apologize and or pay some sort of compensation to the victims.
Come on up and get down with me. I make it feel real good, just the way I'm seen.
There are no set rules and the data is still coming in, but it seems that an integral part of the process is that victims get an opportunity to personally confront the criminals and describe the real-world consequences of their crimes to them and or to their loved ones. In the case of any theoretical PNR commission in the United States, this was mostly involved foreigners. But every maimed American soldier and every family of every soldier killed in our imperialistic depredations all over the world, and every autistic child who is victimized by our government's willingness to allow large corporations to poison children, and every child that was victimized by the large corporations that actually did the poisoning would also qualify as victims. There are numerous and various permutations upon the ideological ideal, though, and Wikipedia has a list of the current commissions if you wish to do a little research upon this subject. The most famous and the most successful was in South Africa after the fall of apartheid. here's how these things work.
Well, the first days are the hardest days. Don't you worry anymore. 'Cause when life looks like easy street, there is danger at your door. Think this through with me. Let me know your mind. Whoa, what I want to know is, are you kind?
There is an idea about how to do things that is superior in every way to the way things are currently being done. But people who benefit from the status quo are almost invariably also the people that run everything. And they are also the people that either make things happen or they are the people that prevent things from happening. And thus, they tend to like things just the way they are. And thus, they are never going to change anything unless they are dragged there kicking and screaming. And thus your idea hits a bit penetrable dam and goes absolutely nowhere.
God damn, will I declare, have you seen the light? Their walls are built of cannonballs. Their motto is, don't tread on me. Come hear Uncle John's band playing to the tide. Come with me or go alone. He's come to take his children home.
The trick in such a case is that you must keep banging that dam with your idea over and over again, often for decades, and then, often without warning, the dam suddenly breaches and sanity suddenly appears and everyone who was dismissing you yesterday suddenly begins singing Kumbaya with you today.
It's the same story.
Now, I've been planning on doing a piece on truth and reconciliation for a while now. And as part of that, I have been trying to buttonhole a friend of mine for my very first Thunderbolt interview.
Ain't no time to hate, barely time to wait.
Now, my friend is a practitioner of a concept called conflict resolution.
Where does the time go?
And conflict resolution is a vital component of truth and reconciliation. Conflict resolution is a process wherein, rather than the aggrieved persons engaging in adversarial court proceedings or doing a drive-by shooting, they instead sit down in a room together with a professionally trained conflict resolution expert.
I can hear your voice. Whoa, whoa. What I want to know, oh, how does the song go? Come hear Uncle John's band by the riverside. Got some things to talk about here beside the rising tide.
Besides a potentially vital role in bringing about world peace, one of many other exciting possible areas wherein conflict resolution could be deployed is in criminal justice.
Alone, he's come to take his children home.
Our current method of law enforcement basically represents a very expensive way to make a problem much worse than it was originally. Conflict resolution may be an answer.
Whoa, oh, what I want to know, how does the song go? Come hear Uncle John's band by the riverside. Got some things to talk about here beside the rising tide. Come hear Uncle John's band playing to the tide. Come on along and go alone. He's come to take his children home.
A news flash in a Thunderbolt exclusive. I can now reveal the results of a secret investigation that I have been conducting for several decades now. Hang on to your seats, kids, because I may be bursting some bubbles. My research has proven beyond a reasonable doubt that criminals are humans. I know that this seems incredible, but I'm afraid that the evidence is incontrovertible. Nothing happens in a vacuum, kid. Especially people. The human brain is by far the most complex organism in the known universe. And while brains continue to grow and to learn and to adapt throughout life, most of the hardwiring for many very basic things is done during childhood and even before birth. If you are subject to conditions that destroy parts of your brain, or if you grew up with serious violence or sexual abuse, then your brain adapts to that reality. The rantings of some white, fat, wannabe slave owner on the television machine about what poor people should do and what they should be like are completely irrelevant. In fact, virtually no one knows. Virtually every violent criminal was violently abused as a child. Now, I am thinking that the listeners to the Thunderbolt probably tend to be a little more knowledgeable about public affairs than the average Joe. And I find myself wondering how many of you knew about this connection between child abuse and violent crime. It seems to me that this is a very vital and foundational part of this particular puzzle. Why does virtually no one know about this? Could it be because Wall Street is making bank on the private prison industry and that they couldn't do that if everyone stopped dehumanizing violent criminals? Dana, you and your conspiracies. Another serious problem with the status quo is that our criminal justice system also punishes the victims of crime, especially the rape victims. As soon as my friend began explaining the concept of a conflict resolution in the area of criminal justice, everything clicked into place. This was the way to deal with interpersonal relationships and criminal conflicts. Not some unthinking, uncaring, unfeeling machine that was intentionally designed to mass-produce black criminals. And, taken to the meta level, conflict resolution could also be the way to resolve the seemingly impenetrable web of corruption, criminality, and pure evil that permeates nearly every level of our culture. Let us now take as a model that obsessive-compulsive ram described by Mr. Sinatra.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam.
Many people have been banging their heads on the prison industrial complex's dam for many years now, trying to implement proven best practices in dealing with crime, criminals, and crime victims.
He had high hopes.
However, the ears of the criminal justice system tend to be even more blocked than others due to the fact that pretty much everyone dehumanizes criminals and nobody much cares about them, and the problems with the current process that further victimizes the victims is virtually unknown.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Those folks in prison reform and the folks who practice conflict resolution kept banging their heads on that prison dam and seemed to be getting absolutely nowhere until suddenly it appears that the dam has perhaps been breached.
Problem's just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop. Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
So last Thursday, I was having a very good day selling real change at the co-op when I saw my conflict resolution friend. When I asked her about our proposed interview, she informed me that she had to postpone it because she had just got done receiving training from the Washington Department of Corrections, which is the non-consciously ironic name for our state prison system. And she told me that since there were now security issues involved, then she needed to consult with others about what sorts of things she was legally allowed to talk to me about. And what this means is that the DOC is planning to implement conflict resolutions somewhere in their process. And once that dam has been breached and once the results start coming in, I suspect that this breach will become a full-blown gusher in the not-too-distant future. Yes, you certainly do need to watch out for those obsessive-compulsive rams. So this is very good news for everyone except the private prison industry. So yay for us. Looks like we may be winning another one here, kids. I would like to think that this means signs of actual humanity coming from government and prison officials, but I suspect that a lack of funds bears more responsibility than any tentative enlightenment on their part. In addition to preventing future costs by actually fixing the problem is also much cheaper than the current practice of spending tons of money making the problem worse. So I plan to feature the Truth and Reconciliation and the conflict resolution processes in future editions of the Thunderbolt, so stay tuned. Hopefully my friend can soon deploy conflict resolution skills to resolve theoretical legal conflicts, and I will soon be able to conduct my interview with her. And so, on that uplifting note, it's time to take a station break. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. As youth find their educational and economic opportunities disappearing before their very eyes, perhaps it is time to think outside the box and consider alternative educational prospects that take into account the likely financial situation young people will soon find themselves facing. There is a unique opportunity that exists that will not only provide invaluable expertise for dealing with this bewildering new world in which you find yourselves thrust, but the experience itself is guaranteed to change your entire view of life. Yes, kids, I'm talking about Club Fed. Tell me, have you ever considered how you could stretch the family budget during those lean times at the end of the month if only you knew how to pick locks and neutralize alarm systems? Perhaps you would like to know how to supplement your slave wage by cooking a little meth in your spare time. Think how handy it could be to know how to steal someone's identity and credit card numbers. Would you like to learn how to produce fire, alcoholic beverages, or lethal weapons under almost any condition or circumstance? Well, I'm happy to announce that Club Fed offers intensive graduate-level courses on all of the above subjects and many more in addition, and school is now in session. Yes, kids. In a move that reflects their genius, your government has concentrated most of the criminal masterminds throughout the entire country into confined, intensely personal spaces where they associate with no one but other criminals who have absolutely nothing to do but learn to hate the world even more than they already did and to share their trade secrets. Yes, kids, it's education by immersion. So relax, make yourself at home, slip off your cheap rubber slip-ons and loosen your chains. Just consider some of Club Fed's amenities, for instance, the menu. It's tasteless and largely inedible slop of a largely unidentifiable nature. Consider the cuisine. It exactly complements the menu. Our recreational activities include staring at walls and walking in circles. The services include 24-hour armed security, a change of bedding every few weeks. Restroom facilities, you can rest assured, are cleaned after every few hundred uses. And nature lovers, you'll be amazed at the incredible diversity of the parasitic insect population and at the proliferation of disease-bearing microorganisms. You can enjoy dull and uninteresting conversation with the ignorant and untrained staff. You can put some edge in your life by spending every minute of every day surrounded by violent psychopaths. You have to watch out for some of the other inmates, too. Or, if you prefer, you can just relax and enjoy the scenic view featuring vast expanses of pretty razor wire glittering picturesquely in the sunset, the entire scene framed by the quaint little gun towers. And in addition to all that, you automatically become part of the prison industrial complex, which is the fastest growing industry in the United States. And best of all, I saved the best for last for you kids, there are neither women, nor children, nor any normal social interaction of any kind to distract you from your studies. You have all the time you need to devote to the learning the fine arts of thievery, corruption, and mayhem. Yes, kids, come learn from the masters. Act now to take advantage of this special offer. Club Fed, it's a stop that you'll never forget. Thousands of positions are available immediately.
In April of 2011, we occupied the state capitol building here in Olympia. After 3 days, we were forcefully evicted, and about a dozen people were arrested. We made a lot of noise, we got a lot of press, and a lot of attention.
Edit.
And we scored a couple of legislative victories that we likely would not have been able to pull off without our occupation. But after the dust settled, almost everyone dispersed, and we didn't really accomplish much overall. Then, a few months later, the Occupy movement sprang into being, and we here in Olympia occupied Heritage Park. We were forcefully evicted several months later. We made a lot of noise. We got a lot of press and a lot of attention.
Edit.
And we scored a couple of legislative victories that we likely would not have been able to pull off without our occupation. After the dust had settled, though, everyone dispersed, and we didn't really accomplish much overall. Then, in 2012, the Idle No More movement sprung up. Now, I did not participate in the Idle No More movement directly, but they made a lot of noise, they got a lot of press, and a lot of attention. And they scored a couple of legislative victories that they likely would not have been able to pull off without their movement. It would now seem, though, that they have largely dispersed and they did not really accomplish much overall. And now we have the Black Lives Matter movement and the Standing Rock movement. They are both still active, and their ultimate fates are yet to be determined. But it would not be out of line to expect a similar such trajectory. However, here is the thing. A lot of people made a lot of connections at the Capitol occupation, and it was there, in fact, where I originally began compiling the mailing list that eventually became the mailing list for the Thunderbolt. Yes, almost everyone moved on to other things, but a lot of people stayed in touch and continued working together on some of those other things. In other words, a network was created. It was the same with the Occupy movement. There are now a whole bunch of people who are now activists who would not have been activists without the Occupy movement. And there are a whole bunch of occupiers now on the Thunderbolt mailing list that would not have been there if not for Occupy. Yes, most people moved on, but yet more networks were created. And I am confident the same thing happened with the Idle No More, and that this process is now happening with Black Lives Matter and with Standing Rock. We are all building networks. There are thousands of people in Olympia alone who are ready for action and just need a credible direction to go. And I am thinking that this very likely is the case all over the country. What I am hoping is that everyone is maybe going to finally figure out that all of our battles are ultimately the same battle, and that all of these networks we have been building over the years will all then coalesce into a great final movement where we can finally get 3% of us out onto the streets all at the same time. And then we can finally force them once and for all to either voluntarily dismount their high horses or to get knocked off of them and onto their asses.
All the way up the tube. Drop your gun, Phil.
Don't do it. He killed Sal, but we got four guns and he's only got one bullet left in that Derringer.
One's better than none.
We got him.
Let's see if that's true. Count to three.
All the way up to six if I had to.
Don't shoot me.
Maybe faster than you. One.
When I say three, draw. One.
If you say two, I'll kill you.
He count two.
Gee. I'll kill the next man who speaks.
Gosh, what excitement. Fight!
Hey, wait a minute. Big shooting.
No, don't shoot again, you cop.
That wasn't Bill, that was me, Jingles, and don't break for that door again.
Stop him, man.
And that is it for the news and commentary section this week. Going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music. This is Leonard Nimoy.
From the land of endless night come I, an alien from afar, spewing forth upon you a pleasant sphere, so much like you, and yet so unlike. Am I the you before, the you you were when your world was new? Or am I the you that you will be tomorrow? Through me you see your future or your past, I know not which. For I come from that spark of light so far in space, your mind the distance could not comprehend. It was once my home, and calls to me when I look up into the void. But it is not the verdant place your planet is that warms and cools you as the seasons go. Oh no. My mind recalls a seething cauldron flung among the stars and satellites and galaxies of boundless time. There, through evolution, I became the creature I am now. No heart or feelings show in me. Perhaps I'm better off than you, for I see things without emotion as they are. Some may envy me, but I pay a price to be from human feelings free. Perhaps in me, you see your destiny. From the land of endless night come I, an alien from afar, spewn forth upon your pleasant sphere, so much like you, and yet so unlike.
Thank you.
That was Ancient Mysteries from Brand X. Before that, we had Astro Boy from John Ottman. And we started off with Alien by Leonard Nimoy. And that's it for the show this week. We'll see you next week. Peace. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes. Or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net. Where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.